You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. It's the week before Thanksgiving, and if you're anything like me, you already have ideas in mind, maybe some prep, or family traditions. Mine is a special carrot and onion side dish. But perhaps you're looking for a new recipe or two to liven up your family's table, maybe even something vegetarian. Mark Bittman is the author of, among other things, How to Cook Everything Vegetarian. Welcome.
Great to be here.
So when we think about holidays, it's so meat-heavy. Is there a good way to rethink meat-heavy holidays, both for like the grumpy person who really wants their meat and the vegetarian who is sick of getting like a gross nut loaf?
Well, if I had to say a strategy, which is kind of what you're asking me.
Yeah.
I would say a two-pronged one is in order. And one is you make a smaller, in this instance, it's going to be turkey, let's face it. But you don't have to make a 20-pound turkey. I mean, we've made turkey so cheap that it's like, oh, I might as well buy a 20-pound turkey. But you don't have to buy a 6-pound turkey. And then, I mean, obviously, depending on the number of people you have, but you think, okay, the centerpiece is still the turkey. For those who want turkey, there's turkey. But it's not like, I mean, I'm embracing the turkey, which you can't see. But, you know, it's not like the table is dominated by the turkey. And then you make like awesome side dishes, really awesome side dishes that everybody will be happy with and the vegetarians will be ecstatic with. Or you make a vegetarian main dish along with the turkey, or, you know, in extreme examples, you make a vegetarian main dish instead of the turkey. A lot of people don't like turkey anyway, but, you know, you kind of have to have one. So,
all right, you brought a little list with you. What were you doing there? What have you got hidden on your laptop?
Well, I have things that might be more substantial than side dishes, like substantial things that maybe would not take the place of turkey but would provide vegetarian alternatives to turkey. So I have a few of those.
Hit it.
So one is stuffed squash, which, you know, butternut squash or delicata squash, even better. Acorn squash, of course, is traditional, but, you know, any winter squash will do. I like delicata because you can eat the skin and it's the sweetest flesh and it has a beautiful cavity. So you open the squash, you scoop out the seeds and you put in there whatever you want to put in there. It usually makes sense to cook the squash halfway or so first so the stuffing doesn't overcook. And then you can stuff it with, a tomato sauce. Or you can stuff it with any grain mixture, quinoa mixed with dried cherries and pecans or fresh tomatoes mixed with corn and parsley. I mean, chopped squash, of course, can stuff squash. So you can do meat stuffings if you want. It's not vegetarian any longer. But, you know, stuffed squash is really a beautiful thing. So that's one thing. This is so not Thanksgiving, but, you know, we are a multicultural society at this point, and I think it should be, and it's one of my favorite dishes ever that has no meat and is a main course, and that is ketchup braised tofu. So
ketchup braised tofu.
You sort of deep fry or you fry tofu until it's crispy, and then you toss it in like spicy ketchup, garlic, chilies, etc. It's got nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but it's awesome and everybody loves it. And it's the best use of ketchup that there is. So there's that. Quiches are very nice. You know, quiches or frittatas, big egg dishes are very nice vegetarian central things. Enchiladas or tamales are really, really great vegetarian dishes. And tamales, especially beautiful on a Thanksgiving table. And then, you know, if people are really ambitious, stuffed pasta. So fresh ravioli or fresh stuffed shells or tortellini for the super, super ambitious, filled with anything. And there's a very nice, very wintry Emilian Romagnan tortellini that's stuffed with what they call zucca, but essentially pumpkin or butternut squash again, or acorn squash, and then served with sage and Parmesan. Yeah, it's like an awesome dish.
One of the reasons we have you on is not just to give these ideas, but, you know, we are an economic show, and you write a lot about kind of sustainability and thinking about the food chain. And
this is called pivoting, I think.
It is.
It's we're pivoting.
I'm a professional.
Yeah. Me too.
And I am curious in the way you think about food, kind of how this has shifted You wrote Vegan Before Six. Do people shop and eat with sustainability in mind now more than they used to? Or is that still, are we still talking about a very small circle of people who have the means to do that?
Well, most Americans have the means to do it. One of the problems in looking at this from a from an income perspective, which is kind of what you're talking about, is that there is a unquestionably a portion of society that doesn't have a lot of flexibility in their diets. They have trouble making ends meet. They have trouble putting good food on the table, and that's true. And that is an income issue. That is not really a food issue. For the other 80% or whatever number you choose of the population who can afford to choose what they want to eat at Thanksgiving and at most other times, then sustainability should become a question. And, you know, we've all overheard, especially here in New York where we do overhear other people a lot, we've all heard someone say, well, I shop right for my family. I go to Whole Foods. Or I'm trying to do what's right. I buy organic. And, you know, whether that's the best initial approach is arguable, but it does show that people think about these things now. And I, you know, it goes back to our original conversation. This is seamless in a way. A small turkey makes a lot more sense. And a small turkey that's been raised well, maybe on a farm that you know that's near you, makes the most sense of all. Because the inexpensive bloated turkeys that they sell in the supermarkets for 99 cents a pound or whatever, unbelievably cheap because it's like enough meat for 10 people for 4 days. I mean, it's incredible. Have the same issues that all the other poultry, commercially raised, well, let's say industrially raised poultry has in this country, which is that they're maltreated and they're not raised sustainably and they're fed corn and soybeans and so on down the line. So, you know, I'd argue go to your farmer's market, go to your nearest farm, buy the best vegetables you can lay your hands on. Allow those things to make the most beautiful table you can imagine because they will. And buy a good small bird and use that to have your centerpiece and to have your turkey at Thanksgiving and to augment all these fabulous vegetable dishes you've made.
Am I baking the wrong assumptions into the question I asked you that having, you know, good quality produce or a sustainably raised turkey or what have you is more expensive?
It is more expensive. Yeah, it is more expensive. On the other hand, you know, a good quality turkey that weighs 6 pounds may not cost more than a bad quality turkey that weighs 20 pounds.
True.
So I'm just saying eat less meat, eat better meat, eat more expensive and better raised meat. It doesn't address, and I'm grappling with this because it gets raised every day now, which I think is a good thing, but it doesn't address people of, let's say, limited income.
I want to ask you a question that's sort of societal and sort of about this book. You started working on this in 2002, published it in 2007. What has changed in the way we think about food in the past decade?
I think the thing about people's consciousness being raised is clear. And I think many, many more realize that we eat a half a pound of meat per person per day. That's at least twice as much as we should be eating. So then the question is, are people eating more vegetables? And, you know, the kale craze sort of shows that we're capable of it. We're up against it, you know, because so much of agricultural land, the best agricultural land in this country, is used to grow corn and soybeans, which go almost exclusively to biofuel, animal feed, and junk food. And it's very hard, it's going to be very hard to change the agricultural nature of Iowa, for example. You know, when people talk about food waste, I like to say, how about the fact that one of the best regions in the world for growing food is wasted on growing non-food? We have a long way to go. There are cultural changes happening, but we need structural changes as well, and those are not happening nearly as quickly.
Mark Bittman, thank you very much.
It's been nice talking with you.